Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Kevin's out today getting his rain totals for all of you. Sitting at home today with kids that didn't get to school. Well, Scott Jackson here with you for the next hour. Scott Abraham, I bring in from WJLA Channel 7. And before we get to your very interesting interview with Ron Rivera, Scott, our mutual friend Frank Hanoran just tweeted out, get those rain pictures in to me. you know, because the TV stations, as you know, because you're a TV guy, they always want your snow pictures. But today, sadly, weather fail. It's rain pictures.
Scott Jackson, I'm from upstate New York. So I don't know if you're too familiar with the snow belt country up there in good old Syracuse and Utica. So we get a lot of snow, and I'm not used to school getting canceled here for rain and maybe an inch of snow. So it's a little frustrating from that aspect, but I understand in terms of maybe the snow removal not up to par with upstate New York, but I digress.
Yeah. I got you. I mean, it's been this way forever here. And guys like yourself come in from, you know, upstate New York, Boston, what have you, Chicago, and they tell us how soft we were and are. And I get it. But that being said, if you've ever been in a car during actual snow around here, you know that it isn't the same as driving in those other places because people are not equipped to it, you know, ready
that
for
is
it.
The, that is the other, so, that is the other side of the coin because everybody's not used to driving in the snow down here. So obviously a safety hazard there. So good point.
All right, Scott Abraham, let's get to your interesting and I think somewhat important interview with Ron Rivera in a lot of spots. You guys hit a lot of items and the one that a lot of people seem to be fixated on today. And it seems like a change in plan with the head coach deciding not to go to the Senior Bowl. What did you take away from that? And, you know, as we all like to say to Ron, is that, you know, because he uses the phrase interesting and important, is that either one of those?
Yeah, so it was very interesting to kind of see how this all transpired kind of publicly. You know, during the interview, you know, I you know, when you think back on it, there's certainly moments and in hot spots that I think of. And that Senior Bowl comment didn't really necessarily register with me right away. But then when it started kind of getting, you know, percolating a little bit, I think Ben Standig, The Athletic, pointed it out, and a few other people, then it kind of sunk in and you're like, you know what, that is kind of interesting that the head coach that, you know, it's a huge year number three, you need a quarterback, and he's not going to go see these quarterbacks front in person with his own two eyes. I found that interesting, but I also kind of understand where he's coming from, where he's putting his trust in his guys and the Marty Herneys, the Martin Mayhews, the Scott Turners, and he thinks they are fully capable of coming back with certain information and what they see, and who knows what the access is in terms of, will the head coach be able to talk to these players one-on-one? Yeah. To my recollection and listening to a few other radio programs over the last couple of days, usually the head coach of the NFL team does not usually have those one-on-one interactions at the Senior Bowl. Traditionally, that's the case. So would it have been just him just to go there and view and watch? Would he have been able to actually talk and speak to the players? I don't know. So what I'm taking from this is I don't see necessarily as a big, big deal, Scott. He's not even going to be at FedEx Field on February 2nd for the unveiling. He told me he's going out to California, where he's from, to celebrate his father's birthday, who's getting up there in years, so some family time. Yeah. Again, he's putting the trust in his guys, and right now at this juncture, you have to trust Ron and what he's thinking here, and you got to believe that if he misses here on quarterback, if they screw up, then obviously he's going to suffer the consequences, and he knows all too well. During that interview, he was very candid, saying, "I know the pressure. I feel the pressure. I have the expectations. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I know we have to have a big year in year three."
Scott Abraham is with us, BetQL guest hotline here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Scott Jackson in here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so you know, again, like you said, if they didn't get the time with him, so he's just missing the practices. You know, he is not. You know, the scouts have been in this from day one. Watching all these college players, they've been giving him the reports throughout the season, so probably not as big a deal as, say, if he skips the, you know, Indianapolis Combine. You know, like Scott exactly. McLuhan, you know, I mean, here, oh, is his grandmother or his 100-year-old grandmother die? I mean, you know, like that was, okay, that was like, oh, red flag, oh my God, what is going on here? Sky is falling. So I'm with you there. Now, let me ask you this. The avenues, he talked about avenues of finding a quarterback. You know, and I thought this is one of the things that is the most fascinating part, right? So there is he pointed out he believes there's four avenues to finding a quarterback. What did you it's hard to tell which way he's leaning because he just laid it all out for you, but kind of talk about that part of the interview and how he explained what they're looking at in the process.
So it wasn't that question that leans me one way. I asked him a different question, Scott, about you have all the salary cap space, Ron. You know it's an important year. How do you find that balance of putting all of your chips to the center of the table, going all in, getting these free agents, maybe getting a quarterback, but also kind of monitoring what you have in the cap space? It lends me to believe that priority number one, they're going to figure out quarterback. So I think they're going to go heavy hitter, trying to swing for the fences in free agency or make a trade before the NFL draft. I feel like they're going to try to go big and get an established quarterback. Just from him talking about the whole salary cap and the amount of chips you want to put here, the amount of chips you want to put there, I think they have to figure out that avenue in terms of quarterback. If they're going to go that route, that will kind of – that's the big domino that will set the rest of what free agents they want to bring in or lock up a Terry McLaurin-type player. Now, in terms of the NFL draft, I asked him about – so you looked at all the wild card quarterbacks this past week. The majority of those quarterbacks were acquired via the NFL draft. So they are groomed with their teams, you know, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, a Carr with the Raiders – and it was very interesting because he was like, Scott, you have to understand where do they pick those guys? Where were they taken? How much time were they given to develop? And, you know, he said the big outlier is obviously Tom Brady, who was drafted in the sixth round. So it really does lend me to believe that he probably understands he doesn't have the amount of time to kind of shape and mold a young quarterback into the system, into the NFL. Because it is year three, and I don't know how much patience ownership will have, the fans will have. It's a new era, new identity. I really do think in my heart that they're going to try to go big just based on the 15-minute conversation I had with him.
Yeah, and it was – we're here with Scott Abraham, WJLA7, ABC7, BetQL guest hotline. When you discussed, those avenues, one of the things you talked about was free agency, and he kind of spun to the, well, I hear people saying, why would somebody want to come here? And then he went into like the salesman part of
big
it, right?
Big sales pitch.
Yeah, big sales pitch. We got the 6th rated offensive line. Everybody, you know, possibly coming back there, great, great market, great fan base. you know, East Coast and this whole thing. And I was like, is he talking to Russell Wilson? I mean, who's he talking to, right? Like, so you're listening to that. And I thought, look, that's kind of who he's got to be, right? And the free agent class is obviously not very good for quarterbacks. I don't think if you're looking, it sounds like he's talking to a guy who would have some control over a trade, right? If you're trying to convince somebody to say, hey, trade me to Washington, you know, trade me to the whatever the name's going to be, the 2222s, you know, this is what I'm going to tell them. And that's, and it was almost like salesman Ron Rivera. And I thought that was the most interesting and important thing out of the time you spent with him.
We actually ran that soundbite last night. My producer picked up on it, and you are so right, because it almost felt like rehearsed. It almost felt like, you know, he was selling a product to me or selling the team to me. And you're darn right, because he mentioned, you know, who wouldn't want to come here? Why not us? We have 2 1,000-yard weapons and Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. We have a great offensive line. We're in the East Coast, one of the most populated areas in the country, kind of using that marketing ploy. So it was clear as day to me that it was a type of sales pitch that you're going to try to use to get a free agent, get a quarterback to come to Washington to agree to a trade. Again, I think everything, the big dominoes quarterback, they have to figure that out very soon. They're not going to wait to the NFL draft, because free agency obviously is before the NFL draft. I don't know. It's not a great free agent pool, but again, you can make a trade happen. So I think they're going to swing for the fences early. And if that doesn't work, then unfortunately probably go to the draft and maybe get like a Mitchell Trubisky or Winston and get a young quarterback.
Well, and look, if you look at the situation, right? I mean, and I know he keeps talking about this fresh start, right? The clean slate after 2-2-2, right? And he talks about this clean slate, and he doesn't want to live in the past anymore. And that's fine. Like you can say that as a franchise. And look, let's just say everybody in the media bought into that for a second. That's not going to change the reality of it. This fan base has been damaged. There's a fan base out there that is not going to go set another foot or spend another penny in that stadium ever again. Outside of them, it might not be anything. Like, there's nothing to convince some people to ever go back to that stadium. I met people like that. They're dead serious, and they've canceled tickets, and they're done with this franchise in terms of spending money on it. Doesn't mean they don't still care on Sundays, but they're done in terms of spending money on it. But what I think, it's that part of the conversation, that how that talking point he keeps pushing out is interesting to me, but it's not going to change the season ticket sales because they have a new name into these cool new uniforms. Okay. That the only thing that's going to change that is a Russell Wilson is a dream scenario of Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think is real. I think he's going to be in Green Bay, but whatever. That's just my opinion. But you know what I'm saying? So it's going to take something like that. Like, Kenny Pickett's not going to sell you season tickets. Sam Howell's not going to sell your season tickets. And I know these things, like, people are like, well, who cares? What if they're the best play for the long term? But a lot of this, again, boils down to business. And who did he just say he met with? He met with the owners. Okay, he met with the owners, right? I mean, they may not be in the sales pitch commercial that you saw about the new video about the new name, but guess what? They got the influence here. They're the owners. They're still gonna decide and have a huge say on what route they want to go. It's their franchise. So guess what? Those are the things that are gonna change the fan base, the talking points, the mindset. Is a proven bona fide QB1, and that's just not somebody that's in this draft, sadly, and certainly not at 11 on the surface. Now, time may tell that there was somebody like that, Scott, but, you know, in terms of, like, making that initial jump of excitement in the offseason, which appears to be what is important right now, I just don't see that happening.
I could not have said it any better. You hit the nail right on the head, because You think of a head coach and you need to splash higher for a head coach. Well, they need to splash higher at quarterback, Scott. And this is a new era, new identity. A Kenny Pickett, as you mentioned, or Mitchell Trubisky, that doesn't get people excited with a new era. A Russell Wilson in burgundy and gold and wearing the new uniform and under the new name, you're darn right. That's gonna jumpstart this franchise. That's going to jumpstart the energy of the fan base. And let's go. So there's so many different layers to all this, but I look at it and it's almost like a perfect storm. If they get this right, if they hit, if they get a big time quarterback, it's the perfect storm to kind of a turning point. It's almost a turning point, because you have everything lined up, the new name, year number three, the importance of getting in the playoffs, maybe winning a division title. You need that QB1. You're not going to get that QB1 in the draft, unfortunately, because history tells you it takes 2 to 3 years. Look at Josh Allen in Buffalo, Mitchell Trubisky, Jameis Winston. That's not going to do it. They're going to swing big and try to get the big fish.
No doubt. And look, it's not a bad idea. I mean, if you could get a Russell Wilson, that's not a terrible idea. It's a really good idea.
I think the fan base would be happy with a Russell Wilson.
Right. That's a great idea. If you can get Aaron Rodgers, amazing. That's not going to happen, most likely. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I mean, it really feels like, though, this is like a Russell or bust situation. Now, Russell, everybody's seen the stories by now, going to test, wants to weigh his options. Then there's the story that the reason you didn't hear any questions about that in the Manning cast was he told them going in, I'm not answering questions about my future in Seattle, which also plays into the idea that he may not have a future in Seattle or wants to find that alternative future. So that's fascinating. Just, again, what's it going to cost? And is it going to hinder you for bringing people in around Russell Wilson to make this team a legitimate contender? But it's not a terrible idea. It's not like, well, frankly, it's not like taking Dwayne Haskins, okay, and picking the card when everybody is telling you not to do it. It's not that, okay? Like everybody in the room who studied the guy saying, don't do this, we don't want to do this, and you do it. It's not that. This is like, if you get Russell Wilson in here and don't give up like the next three drafts, like you're the Rams, then good going. You know, because he makes you better. He really does.
I mean, even if it's not a Russell Wilson, what about like a Derek Carr? I mean, I think that's better than the alternative.
I think Derek's better.
Going to the NFL draft or getting a Trubisky. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing at some of the fans of, in terms of, Kirk Cousins and his honeymoon in Minnesota may be coming to the end. I don't think, that would happen. Kirk coming back to Washington, but obviously that scenario has been played out in social media, which has been funny. But I wouldn't mind a Derek Carr from the Raiders. I think they would be stupid and foolish to let him go. Again, a Russell Wilson. I think that whole thing in Seattle is they're in a new era themselves, almost like a rebuild mode. And I don't necessarily think – I think Russell, his time, he did what he had to do there. And I think he needs a new chapter of his own career. But his wife probably has a lot of say as well. From my recollection, she might be a West Coast, Cali, Hollywood type person. So that could be something that swings a lot of this as well.
Yeah, it's a fair point as well. I mean, let's be honest. No matter who you are, your wife has a lot of influence.
Yes. Come on, Scott. I forgot. Happy wife is a happy life.
Yeah, dude, I've been married 25 years, I'll tell you something. Your wife has a lot to say in what you do, but anyway.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know what? We'll see. Yeah, you don't think Sierra is looking to, you don't think she's a Loudoun County gal?
I don't think she's
like Landover or Bust? I really had fun at that Monday night game this year. Where all the 12s were there. I mean, come on. I mean, we won a playoff game there that one season in 2012. I don't know. Anyway,
I mean, listen, Russell's from, Richmond, born in Cincinnati, grew up in Richmond, NC State. He has the connections in the area. I on his Wikipedia page, I think I texted you this early in the year, it says that he spent a semester at Stonebridge High School.
Yes,
I didn't get that confirmed because I texted the AD over there and he didn't know.
But it's weird. I don't know who put that there. Yeah, it's interesting. I did see that on his Wikipedia page as well. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it said he spent a semester at Stonebridge High School in Loudoun County, and
so there you go.
I got to figure that out because I got to ask. I got to ask Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, I think we need to figure that out too because look, I got a kid that already went to Stonebridge. Got one there now, and maybe my youngest son had told me that, or maybe, I don't know. One of them did, I'm sure.
It says it right there on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, so no, I've seen it too.
That's our mission, Scott. That's our mission. We're going to figure this out.
Awesome. All right, Scott Abraham. By the way, the interview is great. They also touch on the future training camp, which is still very much up in the air. It sure sounded like Ron Rivera wanted a permanent solution to training camp in terms of, hey, we're not going to go somewhere for 5 days and move on like they did last year. Or whatever the number was in Richmond. It sounds like if they're going to do Richmond, they're going to do Richmond, which I thought was interesting. He also mentioned another team coming in, which has always been supposedly in the contract of Richmond, that if you were going to practice with another team, it had to take place in Richmond. Now, again, that contract is not what it was originally intended to be anyway, so I don't know if that's still true or not. So that I thought was kind of something to keep our eyes on as this offseason moves forward. So a lot of good things pulled out from the coach. Appreciate it, Scott, and we'll check you out tonight on the telly. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott Jackson. I'll talk to you, my friend.
All right, thank you. BetQL guest hotline, Scott Abraham with us here on the Team 980 on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Without Kevin today, at Scott7News on the Twitter. Give him a follow there. Does a great job covering local sports. And he's right. So he did tell me this because that Russell Wilson, he asked me, he's like, do you know if he went to Stonebridge? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That's like, did somebody just screw this guy's Wikipedia page, what have you? I don't know. It's weird that it says that. But anyhow, it's on there. And of course, grew up in Richmond, but you know, didn't have any, like, you know, and doesn't have like on their childhood team was the Washington Redskins or anything like that. So I don't know. But anyway, it's fascinating, and he's right. Like, you know, if Sierra, I don't know, but here's the problem for Sierra: they've already got a quarterback with the Rams, they've already got a quarterback with the Chargers. Now the Raiders. This could be the trickle-down Russell Wilson effect, and this was the story last season, right? Like, among the teams, he had Cowboys, Saints, which is weird, Bears, who obviously have then since taken Justin Fields. Giants, supposedly, was on there as well. Ew. But they like Daniel Jones, but who knows? They might have a new GM. They're going to have a new GM soon enough. I don't know. But yes, I felt like Ron Rivera was doing a sales pitch to a influential free agent or person that would have control over their trade destination when he was talking to Scott. And I thought that was fascinating. So the Senior Bowl stuff, we'll let you hear what Ron Rivera had to say about that. I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but it is a deal because it is a bit of a change from, I guess, the original plan, as many of the beat people have pointed out here over the last few days on the Twitter. We'll talk to Chase Hughes at 6:40. 8:40. Crazy Wizards game last night ended up in a loss to the Nets. Trade deadline in 21 days. All that stuff coming up when we continue here. Scott Jackson in on the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Hey, welcome back. Kevin Sheehan, Shell minus Kevin today. He's adding up those rain totals for you. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure a big preview of the football weekend, that is, divisional playoff round. Really, this is it. I mean, this is the last weekend of Saturday, Sunday pro football. Sad. And then, you know, championship weekend, and then you got the week off this year between the Super Bowl and the championship games. So I guess that means that bogus Pro Bowl's on TV this year again. Oh, well. It's back. Kind of finishing up with Scott Abraham was just with us. And again, his entire interview with Ron Rivera, it's like 17-ish minutes or so on the WGLA 7 website. He mentioned the thing about Russell Wilson. If you go to his Wikipedia page, again, it says Wilson high school career. Wilson attended Stonebridge Public High School for a semester before attending Collegiate School Preparatory in Richmond, Virginia. Then it goes into his career there. By the way, he was a 2-star recruit. Yeah. Went to the Manning Passing Academy, run by some guy named Peyton Manning. Manning recognized Wilson many years later when he flundered to Denver to discuss the prospect of getting drafted by the Broncos when Manning was there. He was also, Russell Wilson, a basketball player and a baseball player. Obviously, he was drafted as a baseball player. At NC State, he was really seen as a baseball player. I was in North Carolina when he was played at NC State, and he his first start for NC State as a quarterback, he got knocked the you-know-what out. I mean, he got knocked out in a game against South Carolina. They carted him off the field. I mean, the head, the helmet, face mask was taken off. His head was taped to the, you know, the stretcher, the board, whatever you want to call it, and they took him off the field. Dude played the next week with a concussion, coming off a concussion against William & Mary, which I thought was stupidest thing Tom O'Brien. Well, Excuse me. At that time, the stupidest thing Tom O'Brien ever allowed to happen in the program. And then, of course, he allowed Russell to leave because he wouldn't go all in on football, and he wanted to play Mike Glennon. God, he had to get Mike Glennon on the field. That was his prize recruit. Ugh. So Russell transferred to Wisconsin in 2011. He was pretty good there. 33 touchdowns, just 4 picks. He, by the way, got better there. His completion percentage was better there. I mean, he got better coaching. I mean, thing about him that's wild is he's only, you know, 5'10", 5'11", whatever he officially measures to. You know, the way his ball comes off his hand, I mean, he's got a high arc. He doesn't get passes knocked down like some shorter quarterbacks, you know. He doesn't play like a short quarterback, and that's the thing that is good. And again, he doesn't get hit. He doesn't take hits. Does a good job avoiding hits. Very elusive in the pocket. He's a winner, and he's a great leader. And Mike Shanahan knew it, but he never got around to drafting him. All right. Senior Bowl. All right, here was Ron Rivera with Scott on the Senior Bowl and his new plan to go ahead and pass on the event.
Well, what we're going to do is you know, we're going to go down to the Senior Bowl. When I say we, our scouting department will be down there. Specific coaches will be down there.
You're going, right? Or
no.
You're not going?
No. No. When I'm going to do something, I'm going to try and do it as private as possible and away from everybody. I don't need the distractions. What I want to be able to do is focus in on specific guys.
So that's about the Senior Bowl. So the Senior Bowl is kind of like a big, not a cocktail party. Well, in some senses it is. It's a really good place to go if you're a media guy, because there's a lot of scuttlebutt and gossip. There's a lot of coaches trying to put staffs together there. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. So I kind of understand what he's saying about the distraction part. And I don't believe the coaches will get the head coaches will get the one-on-one time with the prospects is what you're looking at. And again, there could be the other part, which is they're not going to draft the quarterback anyway, because they're going to try to handle this prior to the draft, whether it be via trade or free agency. They're going to get a veteran in here because they want to be on the ground and going next year, you know, as a playoff team and not as a team that's, you know, on a 2-year or 3-year project, the quarterback. So there could be that. Could be a smokescreen. Could be, again, some personal things about his father that he's not sharing that, you know, this is important for them to go out there and get this time with his dad, and I totally respect that. I get that. And again, 2 years into this job, he has had to handle more than the average coach. I totally get that. So anyway, so that was Ron Rivera on the Senior Bowl with Scott Abraham. And again, but it is a little different from what they had discussed a few weeks ago. Anthony, by the way, tweets me to say, did you hear Mel Kiper Jr. said that Daniel Jones is better than the top QBs coming out in this year's draft? Wow. Well, here's my problem with Daniel Jones. I only mostly see him when he plays this franchise, and he's great. but anyway. Yeah, I mean, look, it is, again, I like Pickett. I think you could talk me into some things about Sam Howell, but there's also some things I don't really like about Sam Howell. I mean, it's not a blow-your-away class. It's not like when Andrew Luck was in the draft or Joe Burrow was in the draft most recently. I mean, it's not like that kind of draft, right? Speaking of Andrew Luck, by the way, did you see him at the national championship? Oh, my goodness. He does not look like a guy who played in the NFL. Yet, that being said, they have this picture of him next to Robert Griffin III on this TV set with ESPN. And he's still, like, his shoulders are so much higher than Robert's. I mean, he was such a bigger guy. And, you know, he took a beating. He doesn't look like he's been in the gym anytime recently. You know, working out, trying to get back to football.
He looked like he lost a lot of weight.
Didn't he? Yeah, he looks thin, right? Did he look thin?
He looked like moved out to Montana and just stopped eating meat.
He's a really bad mustache, too.
That facial hair was something else. That was crazy. His facial hair, I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah, it looked weird. But did you just notice how much bigger he was than Robert, like standing next to him? Like, I was like, damn, you know. I always knew he was taller. And, you know, we were doing all these great Mike Shanahan stories today. I'm talking about Kevin's dad since he's not here. One of the great Shanahans he used to give us, like after, like, especially he started getting really touchy on how many hits Robert was taking, because, of course, it was his kid that was supposedly in charge of protecting him. So he used to get very touchy about the hits. I mean, every week, hey, worried about Robert taking hits. Can you teach this guy to slide? Can you tell him where the out-of-bounds markers are? You know, especially after that Cincinnati game where they were running the option, like the old-school option. He got that snot knocked out of him a few times. Anyway, then Mike would have these stats, like, of every time Andrew Luck got hit this week, and Andrew Luck, you know, he's just had more hits than Robert this year, and he's in the pocket, and you're much more vulnerable in the pocket than you are outside the pocket. And yeah, but he didn't look like a crash test dummy, Mike, when he got hit like your quarterback. But anyway, I digress. So he was obsessed with Andrew Luck hits. And I look, he had a point. Andrew Luck took a lot of hits. Andrew Luck took a beating. Obviously, he had the feet injuries and all that stuff, and obviously got burnt out of football. I mean, and these are the things that really suck, right? As a franchise, you're like, hey, we nailed it. Here's Peyton Manning. He's gone. His body has betrayed him. And, you know, we're going to get this young next Peyton Manning in the draft. And then this guy, you know, he gets burnt out, body gets broken down, and he's out of football at a young age. I mean, those are just the things you cannot foresee when drafting a young guy. And even the, quote, can't miss kind of guy. And that's got to burn. I mean, the Colts have done a nice job. They didn't totally sink their franchise, but at the same time, it is a it's one of those things where it definitely sets you back. I mean, because geez, I mean, I don't think they've solved anything with Carson Wentz, that's for sure. Hey, Washington FC says getting a veteran vet is continuing to kick the can down the road. We need a quarterback for 10 years, not for two mediocre results. Yeah, I don't think Russell Wilson necessarily has just got 2 years left on him. I mean, and it wouldn't necessarily be mediocre. I mean, again, I know everybody's not built like Tom Brady, you know, mentally and physically. But quarterbacks have shown they can play a lot longer. He's still a youngish guy. I mean, you know, he's still got years in front of him. He's not a guy that has a ton of, like, all these knee and shoulder injuries. I mean, he's 33 years old. I mean, he's more than a two-year player. I mean, he's got 2 years left in his contract, but he's more than a two-year player. And again, you can't force a 10-year quarterback out of a draft if there's not a 10-year quarterback out of a draft, right? I mean, you can't just say, oh, we're going to just take Kenny Pickett, let's say. All right, and he's going to be our quarterback for the next 10 years. Kenny Pickett, by the way, is, what, 25? Is that right? I mean, he's not like Chris Winkie old by any means, but he's a little older coming out in the draft, which kind of makes some teams nervous. Well, he's 23. He'll be 24 by kickoff next year. I don't find that to be that terrible of a thing. But anyway, yeah. So, I mean, there is – you can say kick in the can, and yeah, you'd rather have a drafted guy. But if you look at the history of this franchise, you know, they have pretty much not had drafted quarterbacks in terms of guys that have – played long. Theismann was not drafted here. Obviously, Jurgensen was not drafted here. And those are the best quarterbacks, you know, besides Ball. And he was throwing a basketball. Nobody else was throwing. I mean, Rippon was a drafted late draft pick, obviously. He won a Super Bowl, but, you know, Mark didn't play that long, unfortunately. Injuries got to him. So, you know, I don't really care how the quarterback gets here. Just get him here. But I do understand if you have a business model that, you know, in a product that you're taking to market and you're doing this new rebrand, shiny thing, and you're like, hey, we want people to care about it and be excited and actually come to our games. Who's going to get you there quicker? Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Malik, you know, or is it going to be Russell Wilson? And again, you don't even know if he's going to be available. I mean, Malik Willis out of Liberty. Is that going to fire the fan base up? I don't know. I mean, I would say probably not as much. Probably not as much. Even though he may end up being a stud. Who knows? Maybe, you know, 2 years from now, we're looking at, you know, one of the elite quarterbacks in the league or Howell. You know, same with Pickett. But right now, the people that get paid to do this stuff, we'll see how they'll overdraft. I mean, somebody always does, right? They'll overdraft one of these guys. We'll see if it plays out that way. So I don't think it is irresponsible. We're not talking about like a 38-year-old Russell Wilson. I mean, if you were going to go all in on Matt Stafford last year, and by all in, I mean a first and a third and, you know, whatever it took. And apparently Matt Stafford says at one point he thought he was coming here. Even though the way that they talk about it, it makes it sound like that, Matt Stafford had some say in his destination. You know, Matt Stafford's three draft classes before Russell Wilson. You know, he's just, you know, a year older, though. He's going to be 34 in a few weeks. Is he going to be 34 at the Super Bowl? He's on February 7th. That's prior to the Super Bowl. Interesting. So if he gets the Super Bowl week. No, that will be the Super Bowl, right? Or now it's the week. Yeah, that is the Super Bowl. Or the week off this year. Yeah, it's a week off this year. That's right. I keep forgetting. Anyway. All right. Coming up, we'll get to the Wizards and the weird play last night that involved the former Wizard that was on the Nets bench. Plus, what could we possibly see at the trade deadline for this Washington team? Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, joins us straight ahead. It is Scott Jackson sitting in today here on the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
That was also a horse too. I mean, coaches should not be able to stand up. I mean, I get it if it's under 2 minutes. I mean, everybody in the league stands up, but I feel like it was like 3:50 on the clock. You're standing up, you got Steve Nash blocking the refs' view, can't see shit. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but you know, it's very unfortunate, but you just gotta live with it. You know, we had an opportunity at the end. I missed a shot. Live and die with it. You know, it happens.
Kyle Kuzma kind of talks like I do when I'm not on the radio, or sometimes when I'm on the radio. Welcome back in for the Kevin Sheehan Show. Scott Jackson with you. Kyle Kuzma was ticked off at former Wizard David Vanderpool, Silver Springs own, who deflected a pass while I was in bounds last night. The referees didn't see it. And actually, I hate to tell Kyle this, but I believe there was 5 minutes and 45 seconds left in the game, which is bonkers, when that play took place. As we bring in Chase Hughes, who was tweeting about this last night at the game, BetQL guest hotline, NBC Sports Washington Wizards insider. Chase, that was bonkers, right? The David Vanderpool play, the Montgomery Blair High School zone. David Vanderpool, former Wizard, I don't know, he got caught up in the moment. What happened there? That was crazy.
Yeah, that's not something I've ever seen before. It's not something that any of the people we talked to on the Wizards last night had ever seen before. You know, something strange when a guy like Joe Blair, their acting head coach, says that it's a first for him, because he's been around a long time. He played professionally overseas. He's been a longtime NBA assistant coach, head coach in the G League, you know, many, many years at basketball, and he'd never seen it. Kyle Kuzma said, you know, maybe in the AAU he saw it once. Basically, what I think happened is David Vanderpool was trying to physically point something out to his team and reached out at the worst moment possible, and ended up leading to a steal for the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, on the other end, Kyle Kuzma fouled Patty Mills, and, you know, the Wizards ended up getting the ball back, so it didn't directly lead to points, but it seemed to be one of those momentum shifters in the fourth quarter that helped contribute to a Nets win, because the Wizards, it was just absolute chaos for several possessions after that, because they were in just complete disbelief. So it was really bizarre. I had a really good look at it from where I was sitting at Capital One Arena, but still had to go back and look at the replay to make sure what I saw actually happened. And then it was just an interesting night of scouring the NBA rulebook to find out what should have been the call, because obviously the refs missed it.
No doubt. Chase Hughes with us, NBC Sports Washington, Wizards insider. The Wizards lose last night, a one-point loss to the Brooklyn Nets. And look, if Joe Blair, has never seen it, he played for the Globetrotters. So think of all the shenanigans they pulled, and he's never seen anything like that. That's really nuts. I'd said that in the 6 o'clock hour for those of you that were snoring still at that point. Anyway, so this game last night was frustrating because the Wizards did a lot of good things. Their bench was terrific. Rui Hachimura was wonderful. You know, they got really good minutes from him. Denny Abdi, who we were wondering if he was out of the rotation because of the game before, played almost 23 minutes, was really good. You know, there was a lot of good things. Harrell obviously got to finish the game for them, who was a bench player last night. So there was a lot of good things here. But at that start, I just can't get over. I mean, anytime, you know, you give up 74 in the first half and the team shooting 63% on you, it's hard to feel like you didn't, you know, hurt, like kill yourself, right? In terms of the predicament you were in late in that game.
Yeah, 74 points in the first half, and that was against the Nets team that didn't have Kevin Durant, right? He's out with a left knee injury, so they still had a big three, though, because Kyrie Irving, it was a road game. He's a road game specialist now, and he played really well. He was unstoppable. James Harden, you know, after a slightly slow start, got to doing James Harden things, and then LaMarcus Aldridge just stepped up and, you know, gave them – his best game of the season. He had 19 points in the first half. There was nothing the Wizards could do to stop LaMarcus Aldridge, particularly on the pick and pop, at least in the first half. They slowed him down in the second half. But, yeah, it was a bit concerning because the Wizards have all their guys back. And, you know, offensively, you think over time they're going to be better because Thomas Bryant and Rui Hachimura came back. They haven't played for the majority of the season. But defensively, some of the same issues they've had for a while have involved players who've been there and who remain there and who are going to have to be the guys to fix this, you know, barring a trade at the deadline that'll just overhaul everything. Certainly they're going to make a move, maybe several. They do that every year. Last year they made a tremendous trade to get Daniel Gafford, who overhauled their defense basically overnight, but you can't really count on that happening. If the Wizards are going to be a decent defensive team, even decent, it's going to have to be the guys who were there. You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was guarding Kyrie Irving and not having very much success. They had more success against James Harden. I thought Kyle Kuzma and Denny Avdia did a pretty good job. But against LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, Montrezl Harrell was having trouble. Daniel Gafford was having trouble. Players like that, guys who are just simply bigger than anyone on the Wizards, have given them trouble this year. So maybe you add some size at the deadline. But, you know, certainly that's something that they're going to have to reconcile with moving forward. They want to be a defensive team with a defensive identity, and right now they're healthy, and it's just not being put together at the moment.
Yeah, you know, you pointed out that you know, Harrell was in there having issues with Aldridge. What did you think about the minutes that were divvied up to him versus Gafford last night, who was your starter, but he played, what, 12 minutes and 23 seconds officially?
Yeah, Daniel Gafford came out and played well offensively. He had 8 points in 12 minutes, but then they went away from him. And I think it was just he was having a lot of problems defensively. I think, you know, sort of just following LaMarcus Aldridge off screens. And I think Aldridge's experience was really shining through. You know, Daniel Gafford's a young player. He's still got a lot to learn. He's super talented. Anyone can see that. But some of these more experienced veterans have gotten the best of him. And I think it was also a product of the new reality of the rotation. If someone's playing well, or if a collection of guys are playing well, then that's going to have a domino effect because they're going to stick with them. You know, 2 games ago, it was Rui Hachimura and Thomas Bryant who played really well, so Denny Avdia and Davis Bertans basically didn't see the floor. And last night, they opted to go for size, and Denny Avdia played well, and that led to their backup point guards not playing at all. Raul Neto was a DNP, so I think from night to night, the back end of the rotation, and as we saw last night, even with Daniel Gafford, some guys are going to be affected very directly by someone else being a better matchup or having a better start to the game, and that might make the coaching staff go away from them altogether.
Yeah, and that being said, we're here with Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington Wizards insider with us via the BetQL guest hotline. That being said, 11-man rotation, you don't see that in the NBA often. Is that, I mean, is that something that they got to throw out the window? Because that didn't seem to do anybody any good last night.
Well, the Nets had an 8-man rotation. So, yeah, it was very, very, very different. But Wes Unseld Jr. said that he hopes to get down to 9 or 10. Yeah. He said 9.5. So that might mean, you know, one every night one guy goes out there for just a brief period. But, yeah, it's going to be cut down. I think over the course of the next several weeks, you know, barring injuries, they hope to really pare it down and get a more regular rotation. So that's kind of the process they're going through right now. It's kind of interesting to watch because there's a lot of variables involved. You know, you got Rui Hachimura and Thomas Bryant who came back from long absences. So not only are they playing, but they're on minutes restrictions, but at the same time, those minutes restrictions are kind of firm and that they're not going to go away from them in a game because they want them to get a rhythm. They want them to play enough, just not too much. So there's a delicate balance there. And they've got a lot of different options that can be played with different matchups. Like we saw last night where
you know, you go entirely away from your backup point guards and instead use Bradley Beal at point and Denny Avdia at point. So there's a lot of things involved, but I will say that 11-man rotation, I don't expect to see it to be that deep of a rotation 2-3 weeks from now.
All right, Chase Hughes at Chase Hughes NBCS on Twitter. If they make a move, Chase, on the 10th, or prior to the 10th, who goes? And you know, I know that Montrezl Harrell's a popular guy. He's been really good for them. He was a closer last night, but he's got an expiring contract. He seems to be a guy whose name's out there right now.
Yeah, it's first on Harrell. That's a tough one because you know, he's become such a fan favorite and such an integral part of this team. He obviously, there's a little bit of a lull recently, but he's their best bench player. And last night, you saw what he can do sometimes late in games. If you are really trying to make the playoffs this year and go on any sort of run, you're going to want a guy like Montrezl Harrell on your bench. He can come in and give you 15 points on the regular. He's one of the best bench players of this generation. So I know he's an expiring deal. I think it would really depend on what the Wizards could get back because he can help them a lot in the short term, and they want to win in the short term because they want Bradley Beal to re-sign with them. I don't know you know, whether Davis Bertans fits into their future at this point. I think he's someone definitely to watch. I think he could interest another team because of his three-point shooting, but sort of similar to Harrell in a way, the Wizards could probably use him in the long run this season at least because three-point shooting's been a big problem for them. So certainly they're going to – I think what they'll do is they'll try to sort out their rotation over the next 2 weeks, and whoever's on the outside of it, they'll see as expendable. And Tommy Shepard will try to work his magic like he did last year where they didn't give up all that much and got a Daniel Gafford. Just because the guy isn't playing well for you doesn't mean another team won't want him. We saw that with Troy Brown Jr. And maybe if it's Davis Bertans on the outside of the rotation, the Wizards can trade him and get something back that helps them because another team thinks that they can unlock his three-point shooting.
Yeah, and I mean, the other part of this is if they let Harrell go, like if they play out the season with Harrell and he ends up signing, you know, wherever in the offseason, then it does create cap space, right, next year. So that's not like the end of the world. So at least you are, you know, getting something out of it in the end.
Yeah, I mean, for the Wizards, an expiring deal is valuable as well. You know, they've got more salary cap flexibility, and part of that is predicated on contracts expiring and that opening space for them. I don't think they're going to have, you know, a ton of space. They got to spend, of course, some money to keep Bradley Beal if that ends up happening.
Yeah.
But Montrezl Harrell, you know, who knows? You know, maybe you want to keep him. You got two centers on expiring deals. Thomas Bryant being the other one. You know, Thomas Bryant is 24, so and he's an ascending player, and he can shoot from the outside, so you probably like his trajectory. But Montrezl Harrell at times has looked like a really good fit here, you know, alongside Bradley Beal. I think they get along really well, and, you know, he likes playing here. So I don't know. I could see them kind of playing out the year and then deciding between those two guys. And whoever doesn't stay, like you said, gives them a little bit of cap room.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got options. It's a much better roster. We're seeing what's happening with the implosion out there in Los Angeles where Russell Westbrook is. thanks again to, you know, Tommy Shepard gets GM of the year. I mean, I do feel like they should give LeBron James a little something of it. You know, I mean, his impatience helped move this thing the right direction. But it is, you know, again, some good problems. I mean, they have, again, last year, you weren't saying, boy, I really like wish this guy would play versus that guy, you know, because they had options. You know, I mean, they do have some good options here. And obviously, when Wes Unseld Jr. gets back on the bench, I mean, this is what they got to kind of figure out. Moving into the trade deadline, what is their best rotation in order to be, you know, to move up in the standings?
Yeah, I think they've got potential. You can see it. Defensively, I think that's going to be their biggest question because they saw earlier this year the power of having a good defense and how that can just raise the level of your team and make you more consistently competitive. I think offensively, they're going to be okay. I know they have not been a good offense all year, but you can just see the potential with a lot of guys rounding into form. I mean, Rui Hachimura, you mentioned him earlier. He's looked great, you know, particularly his last two games, getting in double figures. His three-point shot looks better. It's got more arc on it. He looks confident. He's been a really consistent scorer from two-point range. If he can knock down threes consistently, he'll be more efficient and be able to score more points on the same amount of shots. And that could be, you know, really, really important in a more crowded offense. So You can see there's a lot of young players who are figuring it out on the fly. Corey Kispert's getting better. He's earning minutes. Denny Avdia. The Wizards are, I think there's a lot to like about their direction at the moment. I do think this trade deadline is going to be really important, though. You know, maybe you package a few of these players together for one really good one. But you can see that the gap between them and the teams at the top of the Eastern Conference, there's still a pretty sizable gap. I think they can make it up, you know, over time. Whether they can do that at the trade deadline, it's going to be interesting to see. I think Tommy Shepard, you know, has operated really smartly the last two trade deadlines. Obviously, the Daniel Gafford trade was excellent. He might have to aim a little bit higher with this one if they want to close that gap. But I think all this salary cap flexibility and all these mid-level contracts and all these quality players that we've speculated for months about, okay, how can they turn this into something more substantial? You know, we're kind of arriving at the time where they need to consider doing that, whether it's at the deadline or in the offseason. The tools are there. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with them.
At Chase Hughes NBCS on Twitter. Give him a follow there. Chase, thanks so much, man, for your time and your insights. Have a good day, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. You too.
All right, take care. Chase Hughes, good enough to join us on the BetQL guest hotline. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Chase Hughes, Scott Abraham. Thanks to producer Brendan Darr. The Travis Thomas experience straight ahead. Scott Jackson saying so long. Fun filling in today for the Kevin Sheehan Show. Check me out tomorrow night at Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Till then, have a good one here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.